I'm Time, and I've never done anything like this before ever, so bear with me. This is kind of a special weekend for me on everything, I guess, because this is my first time meeting anyone from everything that I didn't know already. And I also finally made level 3, so it's like a coming of age kind of experience without the genital mutilation.
That's what you think.
And
did you say you're going home today?
This is my first multiple chain node to write up. Not my node. So I kind of like it, and it's an example of noting your homework. I wrote this essay for my honors American literature class, despite the fact that it's about George Orwell, which kind of shows how cool our honors American literature class is, because we get to study English literature. Okay, so this is called The Orwellian Viewpoint, and it's sort of supposed to be a synthesis of 1984 and like some of his essays that we read in the class. Based on the writings of George Orwell, the Orwellian viewpoint was an extremely influential force in late 20th century thought. Orwell's most famous novels include Animal Farm, an allegorical retelling of the Bolshevik Revolution, 1984, a tale of totalitarian dystopia. Orwell also wrote numerous essays, usually dealing with the same themes explored in his more famous writing. His work has brought phrases like Big Brother and Newspeak into the English language and has profoundly influenced perceptions of politics, power, and language. Orwell's life, during what was probably the most turbulent and bloody time in mankind's history, created in him a unique mixture of idealism and disillusionment, optimism and cynicism. His writings have seemed to have become an expression of the uncertainty and fear of the past century. Orwell was a very political man, although he writes that he was not born that way. In Why I Write, he lists four motives for writing: sheer egoism, aesthetic enthusiasm, historical impulse, and political purpose. I'm a person in whom the first three motives would outweigh the fourth, he writes. Yet, as it is, I've been forced into becoming a sort of pamphleteer. How, then, did Orwell become political? His experiences as a police officer in Burma, he says, along with, quote, poverty and a sense of failure, increased my natural hatred of authority and gave me awareness of the existence of the working classes, and also gave me some understanding of the nature of imperialism. End quote. The Spanish Civil War, in which Orwell fought alongside the Workers' Party of Marxist Unity, or PUM, against the fascists, cemented his political views. Quote, every line of serious work that I've written since 1936 has been written, directly or indirectly, against totalitarianism and for democratic socialism. Orwell's opposition of totalitarianism forms the basis for both Animal Farm and 1984, and has become the most prominent focus of Orwellian thought. References to his work are used to expose totalitarian tendencies in today's society. Yet opposition to a political system, even opposition as eloquent and moving as Orwell's, cannot by itself create a worldview as potent as Orwell's has become. Orwell's insight into the nature of politics and political maneuvering are directly related to his opposition to totalitarianism. In his novels and essays, Orwell reveals that politics are not a means of advancing an ideology. They are a means of acquiring power. In the Orwellian viewpoint, politics are not idealistic. They are cynical and callous. The pursuit of power will ultimately hijack any ideology. The epitome of this is the ruling party of Orwell's 1984. Masquerading as English socialism, the arch-totalitarian party's true motive is not, as the hopeless protagonist Winston Smith guesses, to rule over us for our own good. It is, quote, power entirely for its own sake. In his essay, Spilling the Spanish Beans, Orwell presents the examples of latter-day communism playing the capitalist game, and both bourgeoisie democracy and the now counter-revolutionary force of communism becoming more fascistic as they distance themselves from the ideologies for which they originally stood. In an echo of this sentiment, Orwell writes in 1984 that the German Nazis and the Russian communists pretended, perhaps even believed, that they had seized power unwillingly and for a limited time. Not so 1984's party, to whom power is not a means, it is an end. Orwell's political insights go hand in hand with his linguistic insights. As a writer attempting to make political writing an art, Orwell constantly addresses the problems associated with political language. 1984's totalitarian party controls its citizens through the implementation of Newspeak, a simplification of English that is engineered to make all other modes of thought impossible, so that, quote, a heretical thought should be literally unthinkable. Newspeak narrows language and obscures the meaning of words behind euphemism. Paradoxical and contradictory meanings are common in Newspeak. Joy Camp for forced labor camp, and the titles of the three governing departments of the party. The mystery of peace, which concerns itself with war, the mystery of truth with lies, the mystery of love with torture, and the mystery of plenty with starvation. Even the party's ubiquitous motto, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, is seemingly paradoxical and contradictory, yet it reveals the true philosophies of the party. The Orwellian viewpoint emphasizes language's ability to influence people's thoughts and actions. Orwell's writings reveal the spectacular power of language, especially political language, to either obscure meaning or to elucidate, both giving advantage to their skillful manipulator. Like his battle against fascism and totalitarianism, Orwell wages a battle in 1984 and his essay, Politics and the English Language. A battle against muddy language that obscures truth and perpetuates social and political ignorance. Ignorance is strength is the party's maxim. Not the strength of the ignorant individual, but the strength of a government whose citizens are kept ignorant. The ruling elite purposely keep the masses ignorant of the true workings of government to keep power. Propaganda, secrecy, censorship, and intentional obscuring of language, all these keep the masses unconscious of reality. Quote, political language, writes Orwell, is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable, and to give an appearance of solidity to pure wind. This is why Orwell writes in Politics in the English Language that to think clearly is a necessary step towards political regeneration. The ignorance that Orwell targets in his writings is not only the result of muddy language and poor obscuring political euphemism. Orwell also assails intentional ignorance. 1984's concept of doublethink, the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accepting both of them. Sorry, I need some water. Orwell also assails intentional ignorance. 1984's concept of doublethink, the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accepting both of them, is very similar to the worldview attacked in his essay, Notes on Nationalism. Nationalism, Orwell writes, is power hunger tempered by self-deception. The nationalist, quote, is able to stick to his belief even when the facts are overwhelmingly against him. This mindset is amplified in 1984. The contradictions inherent in the party, such as its slogans and the titles of the ministries, are not the result of mere hypocrisy. They are, quote, deliberate exercises in doublethink. The ability to ignore plain facts and to adhere zealously and even unthinkingly to a dogma is the power behind 1984's party and the fascist movement of the 20th century. In Notes on Nationalism, Orwell comments that, quote, every nationalist is haunted by the belief that the past can be altered, and that much of the propagandist writing of our time amounts to plain forgery. Orwell's writing often concerns itself with preserving the truth and authenticity of history. 1984's Winston Smith works in the Ministry of Truth, the governing wing concerned with propaganda and the rewriting of the past. Orwell writes in Notes on Nationalism that those who rewrite history do probably believe with parts of their minds that they are actually thrusting facts into the past. In 1984, those who rewrite history believe with their whole minds that they are actually thrusting facts into the past. And in a society controlled totally by one body, they truly do have the ability to change the past irrevocably and totally. What was terrifying, thinks Smith, is not that they would kill you for thinking otherwise, but that they might be right. In 1984, mutability of history is mutability of truth itself. Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the peasant controls the past. Did I say peasant? Present controls the past. Is another slogan of the party. Yet the past, Winston tries to reassure himself, though its nature alterable, never had been altered. Whatever was true now was true from everlasting to everlasting. Horror at the concept of subjective historical truth is another facet of the Orwellian viewpoint. To lose the concrete past is to lose all hold on reality, to plunge headfirst into the abyss. The dire prophecy of 1984 and the inevitability of ideological decay presented by Animal Farm and Spilling the Spanish Beans make the Orwellian viewpoint a less than optimistic philosophy. It seems fitting that cynicism and cold realism should preside over a century as bloodstained as the 20th, yet Orwell's work and life are not bereft of hope. It seems heartening that such a man, so harshly schooled in the realities of war and power, should adhere to a belief as optimistic as democratic socialism, and that he should write that, quote, the great mass of human beings are not acutely selfish. Even 1984 seems more of a warning against totalitarianism than a prophecy of its eventual triumph. Orwell's entire motivation for writing stems from a belief that one man's work can change the course of history, as in his definition of political purpose. It is a desire to push the world in a certain direction, to alter other people's ideas of the kind of society that they should strive for. A man whose entire work was dedicated to fighting tyranny and oppression can only give the A man whose entire work was dedicated to fighting tyranny and oppression can only give the impression that the alternative and humanity itself are ideals worth fighting for.